Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
The market had a pretty good week as Congress seemed to get the debt deal done. The S&P 500 finished at 4288 on the week. Dow Jones finished at 33790. NASDAQ at 13250 and the FTSE at 7607. The 10-year bond trading around 368 and the euro dollar exchange, all those folks over in Europe right now, particularly Paris, 107 to the dollar. The Dow was the big winner on Friday. It was up 728 points to finish that day up 2.2% in one day. This past week brought some positives to the market with the government wrapping up the debt ceiling deal. But net-net, this doesn't mean that much for the market. Why do I say that? Well, the debt ceiling isn't a positive or a negative for the broad markets overall. Surprising positive for energy infrastructure. Student loans have to be repaid again, and worries about treasury issuance and bank liquidity are probably overblown. So the big question that's going to come into focus as it relates to stocks, is going to be whether or not the Fed raises interest rates here in June. And if they do, by how much? I'm going to say today, I think they're going to raise 25 basis points, and here's why. Starting with real estate, this past week we had the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, and while I don't usually pay much attention to it, the 20-city adjusted price index rose about 0.5% month over month versus the estimate, which was a decline about 0.1%. So that was a relative increase. The 20-city unadjusted HPI declined 1.1% year over year versus an estimate of declining 1.6%. So the hotter than expected number on the National Home Price Index increases the likelihood that the Fed is going to raise rates because inflation is not really cooling off. Next, this week we saw the JOLTS report, also known as the Jobs Opening and Labor Turnover Survey. The numbers were surprising that they came in at 10.1 million versus estimates of 9.35 million. And while the data is a bit stale, given it's from April, the release was solid and it was better than expected and points to a robust labor market, which is going to make it tough for the Fed to not raise rates to cool inflation. But that just goes to show you how data dependent this market is right now, because on Thursday we had the May ISM manufacturing index come in, the PMI, and that went 46.9. Now the estimate was 47. So again, not a big deal, but it's a pretty major data point that talks about manufacturing activity. And anything under 50, remember, is slowing down. And the number that came out wasn't really that different from what was estimated, but the prices paid index caught the market's attention. And as you know, the market rallied on Thursday. And this is because the index went from 52.3 as an estimate down to 44.2. This is the lowest reading we've seen since March of 2020. And that was a good thing because it's showing that inflation pressures are starting to ease quite a bit when it comes to the prices that producers are paying to manufacture things. And that leads me to the final data point that we were looking for this week, which was the jobs report. Now, this was the May jobs report. And again, this number came in pretty hot. It came in at 339,000 new jobs in May when estimates were around 294. So this was a big blowout in terms of, again, more people going back to work. But then you compare that or contrast that against some other numbers that came out in the same report, which weren't so rosy. And so, for instance, the unemployment rate jumped to 3.7%, which again is moving higher. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but that's out there. And that's, again, a sign that things are slowing down. So you've got kind of two different types of information coming out throughout this week. Some things look pretty positive, some things not so positive. And you just try and make out what's really going on here. So overall, that's what's going to be continuing to drive this market. It's going to be the data. And what does the market want to do with that? And where do we ultimately end up? As you can see, it's volatile. This is what we usually see when things start to get frothy or overdone. And at some point, there's a fracture point and things come tumbling down. So this past week, I got a question from Rod asking me about short-term rates and why they've risen so much and how the S&P 500 continues to be so resilient. So thanks for the question, Rod. It was a good one. And I say, while the impact of AI may be great, the fundamentals matter as well. And so if we look at AI optimism on the markets over the last week, we saw the S&P 500 rise about 30 basis points thanks to the explosion in NVIDIA and Marvell. But the rest of the market had a downright bad week as the equal weight version of the S&P 500, RSP, declined about 1.5%. Now, the reason for the decline was, well, surging bond yields. The two-year Treasury hit the highest level since March 10th, as strong economic data increased the chances, as I've been talking about, that the Fed's going to raise rates in June, and that doesn't support rate cuts as much as the market had hoped. To that point, Fed fund futures now are pricing in just one rate cut in 2023, down from 3 to 4 just a few weeks ago. For all of 2022 and 2023, stocks have dropped as yields have risen on these short-term treasuries, Rod, and that's why those are pretty exciting things to take a look at. Now, we saw it all year in 2022, and we've seen it multiple times here in 2023, most recently in March when strong economic data and the blowout jobs number sent the two-year yield above 5% and the S&P 500 under 4,000. But so far, AI optimism has supported a few mega cap tech stocks, and that's resulted in outperformance from tech broadly. And because of the weightings in the S&P 500, the S&P 500 index. As exciting as AI is, I have a hard time believing that a chat bot and the promise of an army of intelligent robots replacing hourly workers sometime in the future is enough to protect this market from the Fed hiking rates this month, as I've been talking about. And this also increases the likelihood of a hard landing if that's the case. Another way to put it is the last time the 10-year yield closed at these levels, as I said, was March 10th. And on that day, the S&P 500 was at 3861. Clearly not where it is today. It's about 7.5% lower from here. So again, AI is great, but I don't think it's that great that it can spread that wide for so long. And here's another way to take a look at it. In late February and early March, stocks were getting hit because the February jobs report was a blowout and markets were pricing in more Fed rate hikes. The terminal rate expectations got as high as 5.625% and the S&P 500 dropped. Then Silicon Valley Bank and, as we know, SBNY failed and Treasury yields collapsed as investors priced in a banking crisis and increased chances of a recession. Turns out neither's happened. Meanwhile, economic data remains resilient and inflation is hardly declining. So yields are retracting that entire regional bank crisis decline and are again pricing in sticky inflation and possible higher rates. That's why we're seeing the short-term pop like we saw this past week. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 is nearly 8% higher than it was the last time the 10-year yield was here, and it's almost entirely thanks to AI stocks. More specifically, the S&P 500 is up 5% over the last 3 months, and here's why. Microsoft, Apple, and NVIDIA accounts for more than 4 of the 5% three-month gain. That's right. So as AI does have great potential, and it does appear to be the next big thing, I don't see how that promise can offset the reality of higher interest rates and more pressure on the economy, at least for the immediate future. Now, I'm not saying that the S&P 500 has to trade back to 3,800, but what I am saying is ignoring higher bond yields here on the short term, more rate hikes from the Fed, and stickier inflation, just because investors are excited about AI, doesn't seem to me like a recipe for a sustainable rally. And as such, I'm going to remain concerned that either the two-year yield needs to fall back to levels that imply less rate hikes or more cuts, or the S&P 500 has to drop to reflect the reality that rates may well be higher for longer and that increases the chances of a hard landing.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.